I'm Mitchell Moss, and this is Menswear Musings. Today I'm chatting with Joshua Davis, who owns and runs the image consulting and luxury acquisition service Monogram Styling. He and I both have recently returned from Italy for Pitti Uomo 108. In our conversation, we chat about our experiences at Pitti over the years, how we've noticed a change, the trends we witnessed, the brands we discovered, and one trend we wish everybody would embrace. Along the way, we dive into some philosophical questions of what luxury actually means, the juxtaposition of ultra-luxury against accessibility, and he shares a lesson he learned from U.S. head of Attilini that has changed my daily routine for the better. Let's get into it.
All right, so I'm here to talk about Pitti 108 with my friend Joshua. Joshua is the creative director, founder, CEO, president, chief something officer of Monogram Styling. Joshua and I met a couple of years ago at Pitti, and we were right outside the 100 Hands booth, and we, you know, briefly interacted, but then later connected, probably one of the parties, I think that next Pitti we were at Matt Horanek's party, and we chatted a little bit. And ever since then, we've been connecting when we go to Pitti and outside Pitti. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks. It's good to see you. I've actually never seen you in the U.S. I've only ever seen you in Italy.
That's true. Like I said, we met at the June 2022 Pitti, I want to say, right? That was my first one. Yeah, that was my first one. Was that your first one, or had you been there before?
I went in 2019, and also, so summer 2019, and then Jan 2020, right before the world shut down.
Yes.
I was in, you know, was it like patient zero, like spot zero?
I remember, because I was at that one too. I hadn't gone in June 2019, but I had been in 2020. And I remember talking to people, I think that week, about like this you know, virus in China. And I actually had colleagues and friends of mine who were in Hong Kong at that time. They were in Hong Kong.
Oh, wow.
They'd gone in December and they were like just coming home. So that's funny. I didn't know you were there that time.
Yeah. Just didn't bump into you.
And then did you come, so June 2022 was the first time I went, because that was the first time where the travel restrictions had basically been lifted and it was easy to go. But did you go before then, after pandemic?
I went after pandemic. I remember that there was a June one that got pushed and they got pushed again. So whatever, like, we could first leave the country with like vaccine certifications, I went to that one.
So that was that January or was it June?
I want to say it was a January Pitti, because I think they ended up canceling that whole summer.
Right. June 2020 was canceled. December 2020 was, or January 2021 was virtual or whatever. I want to say there were some people going to June 2021 and it was like a ghost town is what I've heard. And then I think the January 2022 was the one where like more people were back, but it was like, at least in the US, if you came back, it was, if you had to be tested, if I remember correctly.
Right.
So you had to find like a, I remember doing the research because it was like, you have to find a doctor in your city.
Yeah.
So if you're in Florence, and be tested and get a certification that you don't have the virus to board your flight. And if you failed, then you, because you did have COVID, like you couldn't fly home.
Well, I found these tests. There was a certain test sold by this company where you had a specific serial number on the test. You could travel with them, self-test, and then upload that result to a official portal, and that could be your certification back into the U.S. if you had, I mean, I remember I overnighted the tests in, so yes.
So you went crazy. I remember that. So what was that one like? Because the June one, I remember, was almost back to full strength, but I also distinctly remember that the Asians couldn't go. Like the Asians from, like, I remember China and Japan still had these travel restrictions where mandatory 3-week quarantine when they got home, no matter what, in June 2022. But by January, it was up.
I remember walking past. So on the upper floor of the central building in the Fortezza is where a lot of the more premium Japanese brands show. And Boot Black, which is a shoe care brand, is always there. I remember the signpost said Boot Black, the hanging post.
Yeah.
But it was some beverage company that they had brought in to fill the spot. And they were giving out free drinks. And they were so excited to have someone like stop in. I think it was like their first customer on the Tuesday, because I always walked that top floor first.
Yeah.
And they were like getting all my pictures, just like sampling their beverages in like awesome. A very normal pity attire.
Dude, that's an interesting question. Okay, so you made it, what you just said makes it sound like there are certain brands that just leave their booths set up because they're always in the same spot and they just rent them.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
No. So the Pitti organization, you know, they manage Pitti Uomo, Pitti Bimbo, Fragans, or however you say it. But I think that they probably have a standing contract for that location because customers get so used to coming right. to that spot. So I don't think they leave their signage there, but like that's just where Boot Black always is. Like,
but why would there be a Boot Black sign if they weren't there at all?
Probably because they had planned on coming,
and
you know, travel restrictions at that time were so like almost by the day. You would right. log in to see if anything had changed for that country to that country at that time.
Yeah, and I assume even more so for Chinese or Asian brands. So that's cool. I want to talk about a couple of things because I think what's interesting is people who go to Pitti, and this is something that like people ask a lot is, well, I'm interested in Pitti because it seems like such a cool place and such a cool event, but like if I'm not in the industry, is it worth going? So you're a personal shopper, personal stylist, image consultant. I guess describe a little bit like why you go to Pitti and like, I guess personally, like what your business is, but then also like why you go to Pitti and like what's the benefit for you?
Yeah. So there aren't a lot of people who do what exactly we do. Like you can go to Macy's or Bloomingdale's or Nordstrom and get like a free personal shopper who shops, basically walks you through the store and helps you navigate and try things to your body and kind of upsell. And we're more interested, you know, we work for the client. So our clients usually have more constraints on their time than their money. And they want the best of something and they want it frictionless. So we're right. the white glove that figures out what the best thing is and then how to procure it. So we're both the ideation and the process behind actually getting it to them, the last mile. And because we aren't tied to a brand, we can serve lots and lots of brands to customers. So the number one reason we go to Pitti is access. It's one thing to log onto a website and buy something for a client, have it shipped in and show it to them, hope they like it. If not, send it back, right? That's fairly straightforward. But what I hope sets us apart is being able to access things that you can't buy online or have long waiting lists. And that usually happens via relationships. And those things happen in person. And usually they're after hours parties like Matt Rannick's party.
Totally.
Or Plaza Uomo, where you bump into a person who, my very first big Pitti party, I remember it was my first Pitti. I was leaving the Quartets and kind of aimless because I was my first time in 2019 where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of walking back to where I was staying. And in front of me were three Brits who were walking along. And the guy turns back and says, are you headed to Plaza Uomo? I was like, I don't know. He goes, have you ever heard of Private White? I was like, of course. I'm Private White. I own it. James, nice to meet you.
That's awesome.
And it was James Eden who owns Private White and two of his people. And he's like, you're with me tonight.
That's great.
So he walked me into Plaza Uomo, introduced me to everyone. And so you don't get that kind of access and connection. That was weird. You don't get that kind of access and connection without going there, right? Otherwise, right. What are you emailing info at Private White saying, hi, I'm Joshua from the U.S. Right. I'd like to meet Jane, right?
Yeah.
So that's definitely part of it. And then the other thing is community. What I do is sort of unique and especially unique for the area where I do it. And that means I do it in isolation. And it's just good to be plugged into the community because I can't possibly do and know everything. I mean, you know a ton of brands that I've never heard of or have access to or just personal experience with. And being part of the community means that I can be better for my clients, but also get some feedback that I need to also enjoy what it is that I do.
Yeah, that's interesting. You said the access thing. There's so like recently I've been wanting to do a video to compare I have a Speedmaster. I also have the Bull of a Lunar Pilot, but the first generation 45.5mm one. My brother gave that to me. But there's a 43mm version. And this is, you know, I don't think this is like a strange thing to say, but there's a lot of, like, so as a content creator, like, there are platforms that help facilitate brands to meet content creators to facilitate those interactions. And so I was recently like, I would love to do a video, and I'm not asking for anything for free, but I would love to get the 43mm Bulova to like compare it to the Speedmaster. And like you said, like I can email them just like info@bulova.com or whatever. But if I can find them on one of these platforms, and I don't know if they are on a platform, but that's exactly the case because, you know, a different example is I was at it was an event, and this wasn't Pity, but I was at a Longines event last year in Nashville. And because I was at the event, I met their head of PR. And through that, we built a relationship, and they don't give me anything, but they do lend me watches, which gives me the opportunity to try these watches out, and I get to wear them, and I get to style them, and show people how they work, and experience it firsthand for, I mean, sometimes it's weeks and weeks and weeks, they never even ask them back, and I'm saying, like, okay, let me send this back. So that, I'm hoping to meet somebody from Bulova at some point, because I'd love to be able to compare that to the Speedmaster, because right. I think that's a useful video, like, people are interested in. That's the kind of thing people are interested in. Like, you know, how does this compare to the Speedmaster? Although maybe Bulova, maybe that's a favorable comparison for Bulova. So I don't want to say anything. I don't want to say too much, but, and also but the community was that.
Those are win-win-win. Like we, to use your watch thing, we just did a deal for a client where he wanted a very specific Cartier Santos, skeleton in gold. And for the precious metals, there was like one in the country. And the client really wanted to try it on before committing to it. And it wasn't at our local Cartier, and they weren't super helpful. So, you know, one of these connections that I met at Watches and Wonders, not Pity, but right. similar type of conference, was able to get it in for us and send it to us, you know, basically on approval about commitment. Oh. So the client could try it. And it's just, it's a huge ask. Even if you do meet them on a platform to say, hey, can you send me a $70,000 gold watch for my client to try and hope they like it? And if they do, bully for you. But if not, thanks for the time. Have a nice day, right? But right. when you meet them in person and you can have, you know, a coffee or an appetite, whatever it is that you have, and build that personal connection, that just goes so much further than any, kind of anything else. So going totally. In person is almost like a show of good faith that I'm here for this and you are too.
Yeah. For me, going to Pity is the access part of it. I guess I probably wouldn't phrase it that way. That's not necessarily, but like for sure, I would just state it as like relationships. Like for me as a content creator, my goal to going there is to create content. I mean, that's number one for me. I'm, you know, covering it. Actually, I will say the first time I went was 2020, January, the same one, like I said, and that was with Styleform. The reason I went was that June 2019, which was your first one, but I was on Styleform and I was sitting on my back deck and I was looking at the coverage on styleform.net from Peter Zotolo, Urban Composition. And he, my understanding was that like he was already in Italy, maybe he was there with his wife on a family vacation or something. And then Folk, who owns Styleform, had asked him like, hey, can you go to Pity? And they made some deal. So he was doing a certain amount of coverage for Styleform, but like he hadn't traveled there specifically. Maybe he was or was not getting paid. I don't know what their setup was. So he was there to do this coverage. And one of the things that they wanted to do was post street style photos. And he's a really great photographer, right? But I remember him posting in the Styleform like and being like, thanks so much to Eric Manby for these street style photos because I've been so busy doing other stuff. I didn't have time to get any. And I had, I was reading that coverage and I was sitting on my back deck, just so intensely jealous of everybody who was there. And I believe that year, there's some iconic photos that were taken that year. I think probably in the January and the June one, but from like the Harry's Bar, the original Harry's Bar, the one in Arno. And I think it was Matt Hranek's William Brown party. One of the first couple ones that he was doing.
That was the first one of his that I went to was that original Harry's Bar party.
Yes, and I was so intensely jealous. And I was drinking whatever I was drinking, and the drink and my jealousy caused me to work up the courage to just send an email to Folk. And I said, hey, the next January or next June, like, if you need a photographer, I'm your guy for street style. Yeah. I noticed that Peter, it's hard for him to do everything, and I'm happy to do that. I can definitely do that. And I already had a relationship with Folk because I had been doing some blog posts for them for, like, I don't know, a couple years. And to my surprise, he was like, what about the January one? And I was like, yeah, sure. And which worked out even better, because if it had been the June one, like, that was canceled, who knew? I mean, at the time. So that was my first one. I kind of got to see the ropes. I had a very specific job. I was just doing street style and whatever photography they wanted me to do. So then the June one after the pandemic, 2022, I decided to go back on my own to create content for Menswear Musings. I had decided to make Menswear Musings as a platform. I had been blogging for a long time, but, like, just trying to build it into more of, like, a going concern for myself and to maybe earn a little bit more money. And so one of the things that Peter did in 2019 that was really, really compelling were selfie videos talking to people just on the street. I remember there was one he did with Lino Iluzzi, you know, from what's his company called in Milan? Can't remember.
I don't know how it's pronounced.
But, you know, Lino, right?
And he's, I know, like, everyone knows Lino. You see him walking around. Yeah, yeah.
Smoking, and he's got
the classic
on his ties. Yeah, yeah. He looks super cool. Well, he did it in a full Italian, because Peter speaks fluent Italian. And he was doing those, and I just thought that was the most compelling thing. So I started doing those, and that's sort of become the thing I'm known for. And, I mean, I don't take credit for that. Like, it was Peter who did that first. And what I found is that I think people love that because it's kind of feels like a red carpet interview, where it's like you see these photographers in the street style images, and you see the Vogue street style, or, you know, Rob Spangl. And it's, I mean, I take the same lenses. It's a 300 millimeter lens, 200 millimeter lens, blurry background, beautiful. And it's just kind of like this arm's length sort of like magazine sort of shoot is what it feels like. And what you're doing is you're going up and being like, oh. And what I would do is, I'm a little bit awkward too socially, so I'll just go up to him like, hey, you, can I do your video? In fact, it got me in trouble. There was one person, I won't name who it is, but I went to, it was a woman, and I went up to her, and I didn't ask. We were at the William Brown party. And I was like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And then I just, like, grabbed my phone, and I got up next to her, and I said, so I'm here with, and that she just got mortified, and she was like, I'm going to go get a drink. And I felt really intensely jealous about, or not jealous, guilty about that, because I thought, of course, like, you got to ask people permission to, like, record them. But it's a pity, so you don't get that. You know, I feel like if you're doing street style photography anywhere else, you should ask permission. But there, it's like, it's expected. And that kind of, you know, in person.
Yeah.
I apologized to her later, and she was like, oh, no, don't worry about it. It's fine. It's totally fine.
As an introvert, that is the most annoying thing about traveling with you at any level. Like, you're, I just want to go and do the thing and go home. And you're like, hey, you're cool. Hey, you're cool. We've met so many interesting people because you're socially extroverted and awkward. And it's been wonderful. That's funny. I hate it at the time. I love it in hindsight.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only way I know how to be. I think I'm just kind of a little awkward. But it's, anyway, for me, it's those relationships. And then those also build into, like, I'm, like, not strategic enough of a thinker to be like, I'm going to meet that guy so that I can build a relationship so that we can have a business partnership. I'm like, that's how
I can attest that you are not.
Right. I can't. I mean, it's not that I don't think about those things, but it's not like I'm trying to schmooze the right people so I can get the right connections.
You're always like deer in the headlights after the fact. You're like, oh, this cool thing happened that I did not plan.
Exactly.
And it was amazing.
The next time Omega comes, I will be a little bit more strategic, because there's no secret that I'm a huge Omega fan and I really want to make a relationship with them and do some work with them. But anyway, so that was that's kind of why I go. And the relationships and the business aspect of it kind of go hand in hand for me. And this worked out. Like, you know, there's been people that I've met walking the show floor and talking to a brand and just being like, this is cool. Hey, would you be interested in working together?
Yeah.
And it's worked out. couple of times.
There's probably also a credibility factor, if I'm being perfectly honest.
True. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because there is no, I mean, in either of our fields, like, there are lots of brands who try to claim that they're the official certification body for image consulting. It's a bit of a bullshit, right? Because, I mean, it's not governmental at any level, and there are people vying for this certification. I think AICI wants to be one, but there are lots of others.
Yeah.
And the consumer has no idea who to trust, right? You just like Google personal shopper or image consultant, yeah. You get lists and lists of things. So like, how do you know? So there, you need a differentiator. It's the same kind of thing. Like any person with a sufficiently interesting camera can say, I'm a photographer, right?
Right.
But there's a gulf between photographer and photographer, right?
Right.
And you differentiate yourself by going to the places and doing the things.
Right. No, that's a good point. I think that's true for me too, because like I went to that June 2022 Pitty. I was there, I was doing the coverage, and you know, I'm blogging throughout the year and I'm not just posting on Instagram. I always tell people like my website is where the real mojo is. And that's, I think myself, and I say content creator rather than influencer, because influencers to me are, it's kind of a dirty word, but it's not an inaccurate perspective of what I do, but I like to dive a little bit deeper. You know, it's like Simon Crompton, he posts really great photos, he's got great photography, but his website is the thing, right? And so I kind of feel a little bit the same way. But anyway, so where was I going with that? Oh, because going to Pitty gave me that little bit of extra credibility. That next one that I went to, January of 2023, I got this DM from Joachim Bonn, and he was like, hey, interested in chatting. Are you here? I see you're at Pitty. Can we meet up? And I was like, okay. Met up with him, kind of didn't know anything about him. After we talked, he's like, oh yeah, I'm the creative director for Atelier Monroe. And we kind of talked, he's like, I'm interested in doing something. And I was like, okay, yeah. And he showed me some of what they have done before. And I was like, sure. You know, and I was, you know, it was that whole period for me was like trying to learn to say yes and look for opportunity.
Yeah.
Rather than kind of my default in life has been like kind of a scarcity mindset. And I've been trying to have a more of an abundance mindset and be like, you know, I want to look for opportunity. And so when he said, let's meet, and we talked, well, that was that Atelier Monroe thing. And then it turned into this campaign. It was a 3-city tour with, you know, photo shoot each with video. And I did this write up, and they printed a book that is in their stores. Like it's on, you know, their shelves. So like, and it was because I was at Pitty that we connected. And I'm not saying Joachim would not have still maybe pursued me in that role had I not been at Pitty. But for sure, being there, like, we were able to, like, have a coffee. There was no excuse. There was no scheduling. It was just like, okay, we'll go to this booth. They have a coffee. Yeah. We'll drink that. So for sure, like, going is really worth it. Like I said at the beginning, like, I get this question a lot. For someone who's not in the industry, per se, and you're in the industry, I'm in the industry in that sense, what do people ask you that? And, like, what do you tell them? Or what would you tell them, like, about going to Pitty if they're not, like, if they're just, like, an enthusiast?
Had some clients contact me and, I mean, either passive or actively say, hey, I know I want to go with you. Would that be a good idea? And if you enjoy fashion as art, I think that there's certainly a component of that because, you know, at Pitty, you have the exhibitors, you have the buyers who are actually there to do business, which I do at some level buy. So there's a little bit of that for me.
Yeah.
Then there's like the social networking for, we just discussed the access and community. And then there's like the peacocking, which Pitty usually lacks a runway, but like that's kind of the runway, like wherever the shade happens to be as you escape the sun, that's like the runway.
Yeah, that's a good point to say.
So people who would want to go to like a traditional runway show might go because they want to, you know, be part of culture or observe. And maybe you don't get the same high from looking at the photos or videos after the fact. So I would say there's definitely an energy there just being part of that and walking through it. That can be inspiring, certainly. I think that you don't have to go to the actual fair to see it. You can literally just be in any one of the feeder side streets to the Fortezza, and you'll see like the gravy train of fashion walking up and down, right?
True.
So
I hope you enjoyed this free preview. To hear the full conversation, join my Patreon at patreon.com/menswearmusings. As a member, you also get other exclusive content and access. Thanks again for your support. We'll see you next time.